time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena, how are you this morning, Marama Davidson?
Morena, Rachel, I'm really good, thank you, and really pleased to have a kōrero with you all this morning.
Me too. We've got some big ones to talk about today as well. We're going to talk about the flooding that's happening on the West Coast. Also, a little bit about China and New Zealand and the recent sort of conversations that have been happening there around hacking. But I want to start with Putaki Bay, which is something that has been a big topic nationally, but in Auckland in particular. This is the very hotly debated marina that is going into Kennedy Point or Putaki Bay, and the protest efforts to stop that from happening. The main reason being that the iwi in the area would like to be able to express their kaitiakitanga of the space and protect the korora, the little blue penguins that nest in the rocks there. Their main calls are for a halt in works, and we've seen some pretty big escalations in a police presence over the last week, with reports of over 100 police officers showing up to arrest four kaitiaki in the space. What is happening from a political perspective here? Because there has been quite a lot of silence from the council and from central government around this, and it's bringing up these conversations that we've heard from Ihu Mātou in the last year. What's going on here?
Listen, Rachel, this is actually a pattern around the motu, around Aotearoa, where we have got laws and regulations that unfortunately have long favoured wealthy developers instead of the local community, te tiriti and mana whenua, and the environment and natural habitats and species. And this is at the core of all of the raruraru that is happening. And it's a very divisive, systemic flaw that sets up groups against each other. It sets up people even within iwi and mana whenua with differing views on how to approach this really volatile situation. So this is essentially what we are dealing with, is for far too long we have had developers and people with wealth and power being able to undermine the local community voice, the tiriti, justice, mana whenua decision-making, and especially as kaitiaki, as you've highlighted, and it has been able to override environmental protections. So that's absolutely it in a nutshell. I'm really clear. Our Māori and Pacific caucus in the Greens, which we call Te Mātā Waka, which is led by our Māori and Pacific MPs, myself, Dr. Elizabeth Kirikiri, Te Anau Tuiono, and our treaty spokesperson, Jen Logie. We have been visiting and listening on the ground to these occupations around the whole country. Of course, Ihu Mātou was a big one for us, but actually we've been to Great Barrier, to Aotea, we've been to Raglan, we've been, of course, to Putaki. We were a strong presence at Ihu Mātou. We've been to Shelley Bay, Maraikuku in Wellington, and others around the country. And we are, and then there's the Mahia Bay Rocket Lab. And this is a strategy led by Te Mātā Waka about addressing both the concerns on the ground, the environmental protections, and pushing for the systemic change in the laws so that we can actually put people and the environment first.
So this is a constitutional issue, and as you say, we're seeing this come up time and time again. What needs to change to get to a point where we're seeing better representation of diverse voices on these discussions around resource consent and environmental protections?
Yeah.
Because one thing that I guess people would say in defence of what's happening with the development of the marina is that it's been through every level of court.
It's been through all the courts.
Yeah.
Including the Environment Court. It's been through the local government, it has been through all of the processes, it has been through the hearings, the resource management consents, etc., etc. Now, what that means then is that the system is flawed, is that the laws are not strong enough to protect. You know, it's not just about the korora. When I was on the ground there a couple of weeks ago, we were listening to the locals and mana whenua actually telling us about it's the entire ecosystem in Putaki Bay, which includes seabirds, marine life, the dolphins who come in there, the different, many different seabirds, and of course all of the entire ecosystem in that particular habitat. Now, what you will often see, which is what we saw at the Himata, which is what we're seeing here at Pupiki, which is what we're seeing in Aotea, the dumping, is the developers and the companies will say, we have put a protection plan in place according to the rules. And two things happen. One, the rules are not strong enough to put the proper protections in place. Two, they say they are doing that protection work, and in reality, they actually are not. Now, DOC have been expressing some frustration that they are not sure whether there have been the correct wildlife releases and wildlife protections put in place in the case of the Korora in particular. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they are trying to monitor and get an understanding of what is actually happening as well. But this is what's at stake here. If the protection laws are actually not strong enough, and that's why these things get through all the courts, people are left only with the option action at the end of all of that.
So is that really the only option that there is at the moment for that community? Because if it has gone through every level of the court, how do we get some sort of resolution here? What is the options available?
I mean, this is why the Greens have always supported direct action, is because that is how we can also try and get some high-level change. And we saw that with the Humatao, you know, over years. They were able to occupy and direct action strategy. They brought mandates, they increased the public awareness of what was happening, and they got an outcome that was a peaceful resolution that, you know, was satisfactory to the different parties. And I think this is what we are seeing around the country, people inspired both by that and the longer history of direct action and peaceful protest that we have in Aotearoa. I mean, we, you know, Ōpahu and Ngāti Whātua is another example.
So from within the government, though, is there anything that can be done, particularly by Green MPs?
Yeah, and this is, again, like, we played a massive role in the government needing to step up and show its hand. You know, the day that myself, Jan Logie, Gowes Gutterman and Chloe Swarbrick went to Ahumatao, it created such a public awareness on that occupation that very night the Prime Minister was forced to call a halt in the development. You know, this is a role that Green MPs are continuing to do around the country, both bearing witness, hearing directly on the ground from the people involved what is actually happening, and then pushing for change behind the scenes, whether that's foreseen another review of laws. We, for example, have actually improved the laws around the Dome Valley tip situation, where you were not able to make a decision to properly protect mana whenua and the environment, and we've now changed the law. You know, post that decision, we were able to improve those. So yes, there are things that we can also do in the hallways of power as well as on the ground.
Well, let's just let's talk quickly, because we're running out of time, but I do want to touch on our other topics as well. Let's talk about this flooding that we're seeing down in the west of the South Island, and it, you know, this is the second time basically in this season that we've talked about this you know, terrible once in however many years kind of flooding we're seeing. This, you know, this is linked to climate change, this is linked to ongoing environmental problems. Do you think we need to be seeing managed retreat as an option that's happening for these spaces down there? You know, some of these communities are really vulnerable to this ongoing climate catastrophe, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, my first thoughts, of course, are with those who are at the forefront of these extreme weather events that upset people's livelihood, people's stress and emotional well-being, and displace people and really put people in a really unstable position, both mentally, emotionally and physically. And our scientists and our Indigenous peoples have long predicted these sorts of events. I mean, you know, look, let's acknowledge storms have happened before, yes, but the issue here is the intensity, severity and the frequency of them. And so this, we need urgent climate action. Managed retreat is definitely one of the options that needs to be on the table. I think the overall principle, though, Rachel, is a just transition, having a look at what the different mitigation and adaptation processes are, and what do we need to support the people with the least resource and power who are impacted the most to be able to have a sense of stability and security in their lives. And that's asking all of us to step up and collectively support a plan to reduce our emissions and to adapt to climate change. And that's what my colleague James Shaw intends to introduce before the end of the term.
With the particular communities that have been affected by this flooding incident here, we're seeing, you know, the potential for this to be devastating for people's livelihoods, their homes, their farms. These are huge, huge impacts on people's lives. What is the support that we need to see in an ongoing sense for these communities? Because this is not going to necessarily be a quick fix.
Yeah, there's immediate support that is going to be necessary. You know, what do they need right this minute, whether that's for clean-up, whether that's for rescue, animal welfare. So there's immediate support. What do families need right this minute, children especially, and the welfare. And then there's the sort of, I guess, medium and long-term transition support. We are going to have to question how sustainable our different industries are, you know. That includes how sustainable, how do we get around our transport and public transport. That includes our city infrastructure, and that includes our farming and agricultural practices. So we're going to have to look at a plan to move into a way of life that can withstand these weather events, that can hold families together with the increase in these threats that come to us.
Let's just very briefly talk about this announcement we've seen from the government. The New Zealand government is joined in with other Western allied countries condemning China, accusing the government of responsibility for these hacking attacks we've seen recently in the country. This is quite a strong position from the government, given there's been quite a bit of, I guess, accusations of fence sitting or not wanting to take sides around condemning the actions from China in recent times. What's your take on this? Do you think this is a big change? Do you think this is something that we've seen building up for a while? And what do you expect might be the fallout from this?
Yeah, well, the Greens have always been very clear that we should always maintain a truly, truly independent foreign policy and do what's right for New Zealand. We've maintained that since the start of the Green Party, you know, no matter who it is, whether it's China, whether it's the US, the UK, or any other countries who are trying to use their global power hand over other countries who might have less resource, less power. And this is a situation so that the Greens have always maintained for these very instances that can arise. You know, and for my caucus, we haven't discussed this particular issue yet. Of course, we've all been on recess recently and haven't been together. But in principle, I just stand by us always wanting to have a truly independent foreign policy, not one that prioritises necessarily our trade links, but one that prioritises the sustainable future for our people, for our planet, and all of the resources that we need for our livelihoods and our well-being. That isn't necessarily the way that New Zealand has operated, and we're finally starting to see a move in that sort of direction. Although in saying that, you know, I see that we are joining other countries in condemning China, yet that's fine. But again, I want us to be wary of our independent foreign policy, that we act on behalf of our people and our country and our land and water, instead of thinking about trade and other powers.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama Davidson. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks. Kia pai tō rā. Have a lovely
Thanks.
Rest of your day.
Kia pai tō rā, Rachel. Thank you very much. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.